My name is Frank, and I would like to share with you today a little bit about what I do. I come from the state of Texas in the United States, and I travel all over the world to tell people about the importance of working with children and young people. I share in conferences in many countries with leaders of churches, with leaders in the community and business, people who are part of humanitarian organizations, how important it is to teach children when they are young, to not only teach them what they would learn in school, but to teach them the truths of God's Word, the Bible, moral values, ethics, an approach to see life, to see the world as God teaches it in His Word. And the younger that we begin to teach these truths to people, the more that they will receive it, the more flexible they are, the more moldable they are. And I really believe that this can start as early as 4 years of age, to begin to teach the basic truths of God's Word, right from wrong, good and bad. And so there is a wonderful window of time between the ages of 4 and 14. We call it the window, the 4-14 window. And it is during these 10 years that children are most open, most receptive, most moldable in education, in social skills, personal development, and also in their spiritual lives. There are statistics in many countries that tell us that children at a very young age are open to believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior and receiving Him as their Savior and Lord, receiving His forgiveness for their sins. And so this is the message that I travel across the world to champion in many countries, from Latin America to Europe to Africa to Asia. And it has been my privilege to talk to many people, including parents, because parents are one of the most important groups that need to hear this, as well as leaders of churches and leaders in the community. I grew up in a middle-class family in the state of Texas in America. My father was a police officer. My mother, in the early years of my life, was a housewife. When I was a very small boy, I went to school, went to church, and I learned some very important lessons from both of my parents. From my dad, I learned respect for authority, submitting to authority. I also learned to work hard. My father had been a farmer growing up. Then he was a soldier in World War II. Then he became a police officer. So he taught me respect for authority and how to work hard. My mother, who was a housewife in my early childhood, she taught me unconditional love, loving others without any conditions attached, and also accepting people the way they are, not expecting them to be different from what they are, but accepting them no matter what color they are, what nation they come from, what their economic status is. And so those are wonderful lessons that I got from both of my parents. When I was 10 years old, we had a very difficult thing happen. My parents divorced. And after that, I did not see my dad again. But I grew up the rest of those years from 10 years of age on with my mother. We had some very difficult times. But as I look back at those times, I realize that God prepared me during those difficult years when it was just my mother and me alone to face life, to understand people in many nations, to understand their difficulties and their challenges. And so the career that I have today, the work that I have today, traveling across the world, I meet many children, many families who are suffering, who have difficulties and challenges. And I look back and see that the wonderful foundation that I got from both parents in basic values, as well as the difficult years when it was just my mother and me, has prepared me to share this message of the importance of working with and teaching children and young people at an early age. The most important thing that happened to me in my childhood was when I was 7 years old, that I came to understand for the first time that I was a sinner, that by my words, my thoughts, my actions, that I had hurt God, that I had made Him angry, that I had offended Him by the wrong things that I had done and said and thought. And because of my sin, I understood at the 7 years of age that I needed a Savior, that I needed God's forgiveness. I needed someone to save and rescue me from that sin, and especially from the penalty for sin, because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, not just physical death, but separation from forever from God. And so at that early age of seven, as I understood I was a sinner in need of a Savior, in need of God's forgiveness, that I came to understand that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to become a man, to live a sinless life, and to die on the cross for my sins. Not just a good man teaching religion, but the God-man who came to earth, who gave up His life as a substitute, being punished in my place. And as I understood that very important truth, that Christ died for me, for my sins, and then on the third day He arose again. It's when I understood that that I placed my faith. I believed in Him, trusted in Him as my only Savior to forgive me, to give me eternal life, and to give me a relationship with Him that would last forever. And though I have grown in my understanding of who Jesus is and what He did for me all the years of my life, I still look back to that very early experience when I came to understand those basic truths and to believe and trust in Him as my Savior. And that changed my life. And it gave me the strength to face the years when my mother and I were alone and to be able to now travel the world and to share what Christ has done for me and also what He can do for children and families across the world to forgive their sins, to give them eternal life, to change their lives and give them a relationship with Him that will last forever. Jesus has changed my life in many ways. He has helped me in many situations. One of the things that He has taught me is how to pray, how to talk to Him in difficult circumstances, to ask for His help. And I find that I pray every day. I pray throughout the day. When a difficult situation comes, when someone says something to me that is not nice, when I face a situation that I don't know what to do, when I get into trouble and there is danger, when I get sick, when someone asks me for help, I've always turned to God in prayer first and ask for His help, for His wisdom, for His guidance. And the wonderful thing is that He often answers me, showing me what to do, informing my mind, opening opportunities, guiding me and helping me to see, to understand, to receive the strength, to receive the healing that I know that He is able to give. And many times He does not change the circumstance, but He changes me. He enables me to be more patient, to be more kind, to be more understanding. So I found that because God has taught me to pray, to talk to Him, as I would talk to a friend, that I am a more patient person, I'm a kinder person, I'm more open, and this relationship that I have with Him is one of the most precious things that I have. I see God not just as some distant person out there in the universe, but as someone who is very near to me and who helps me each day. I can think of many answers to prayer that I have seen over the years. One particular answer to prayer that's very important to me: when I was 17 years old, I was diagnosed with cancer in my face. And this was a very challenging experience for me. It was an experience that allowed my faith to grow. And as I prayed and trusted in God, I asked for Him to do His will, if that was to heal me or to allow me to go through the cancer. And God chose, in that particular case when I was 17 years old, to heal me. He took away the cancer. And so this was one of the many great defining experiences of my life. In earlier years, when I was 14, my mother also had cancer, and we prayed for her, and many Christians prayed for her, and God also healed her of the cancer. That was early experiences in life, but now that I'm older and that my mother is a very old lady, she has cancer once again. And we have prayed for her, and at this time, so far, God has chosen to not take the cancer away. So I think that the key of my life is not that God healed me from the cancer or my mom, or now He's not healed. It's that we have a relationship with Him that allows us to trust in Him and depend upon Him and His strength, whether He says yes to the prayer or whether He says no. And so in my life, I've seen both. I've seen God say yes sometimes, and I've seen Him say no at other times. An example of God saying no is when my parents divorced. My mother and I both prayed that God would save our home, that God would save my parents' marriage. And at that time, He chose to say no. So many people get discouraged when they pray, and God seems to say no. But the key is that we have a relationship with Him that will last forever. We have a friendship. And just as our human friends sometimes say yes to our requests and sometimes say no to our requests, God is the same way. And He knows everything, and so we can trust Him to choose what is best for us when we leave the decision to Him. And so I have seen both the yeses and the noes, and God has used both those in my life, both the yeses and the noes to my prayers, to teach me many things. And so this is part of what God has used in my life to make me what the man that I am today. I really enjoy working with young people, teenagers, young adults, university-age students. And one of the things that I love about young people is that they ask questions. They are curious. They are looking for the big answers to life. Who am I? Why am I here? What is happening in the universe? Why is it here? And I had all those same questions. And sometimes the answers didn't seem to come right away. And in a sense, I've never gotten 100% of the answers. But as I was in my teenage years, as I was in my university years, I had questions: is the Bible really true? Is this really God's word? Why does God allow evil and suffering in the world? Why do bad things seem to happen to good people? And as I continued to hear good teachers of the Bible, God began to give me answers. And so I would encourage any young person out there, if you're listening to me today, that if you have questions about the Bible, about life, about the universe, about science, keep asking those questions. There are many good answers. There's many good books, many good teachers. And if you seek for the answers, God will help you to find them. So I've come to a point in my life where I believe God's word is true. I believe that he has proven that in many ways. I believe that God does allow sometimes bad things to happen to good people because he has a good purpose. He often can teach us things and do work in our lives and bring good out of the bad. I have seen this in my own life and in the lives of many people that I love. And so it's an adventure. It's a journey. And so I always encourage young people to not give up. If they have doubts, if they have questions, keep looking for the answers because there are great answers out there. And part of the journey is simply looking for those answers. And though we may never get all of them, I believe that God will give us some. And so I'd encourage all of you young people to keep asking, keep searching, keep questioning, and be very grateful when you find answers from God or from good teachers or from good books. I believe that God has created each of us for a purpose in life. The supreme purpose that God has created for us is to know him. That is the most important relationship of our lives, to know God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And after knowing God, the second most important relationship in life is whether or not we are to have a spouse, a husband or a wife. And I believe that as God has made us in the beginning, that it is his will for the majority of all people to get married and to have a life partner. And in the Bible, God has established and revealed to us his will. He has revealed to us his desire that we have the best. And the best that God has for us is to be married to one partner for life and to not have sexual relations with anyone else besides that one partner. And that is the way for us to achieve the greatest happiness, the greatest fulfillment that we would have in life, to trust God to lead us to that one partner, get married to them, and be fulfilled in a physical, emotional, spiritual friendship that lasts a lifetime. For a very few people, it is God's will for us to remain single, and I'm one of those. I am a single adult. I am 53 years old and have never married. One point in my life, I dated for a long time a young lady that we both prayed and looked for God's will in our relationship, and we finally came to a point where we decided that it was not God's will that we get married. So we separated from each other, and that was very difficult at the time because I was a young man, and I felt that I wanted to have a life partner like anyone else. But over the years, God has shown me that he has had a special calling on my life to travel the world, to share about children, families, the importance of teaching children and young people. And so I could not have done those things, traveled to many countries, been gone for long periods of time, if I had had a wife and children back home. So God has a specific plan for each of us, first to know him, and second, for most people to have a life partner in marriage. But for a very few, it is God's will that we remain single so that we can serve him in an exclusive and dedicated fashion. And if God calls you to do that, he will certainly help you to know that, and he will give you the assurance that that is his will for your life. So if you have a desire to get married, if you want to have a family, that is a good thing, that is a wonderful thing, and that's God's will for you. But I would just encourage you to wait and to do that in God's timing and in his will, to seek out that one life partner who also, first of all, knows him and would seek to marry you and to be faithful to you for life. I shared that God saved me when I was 7 years old. I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior as a boy of 7 years of age. But at that same age, I also felt very clearly that God was calling me, choosing me to be a full-time missionary. And that was something that I understood at that point in my life. My dream was to travel to other countries, to tell people about Jesus, to tell them about God's Word, the Bible. And so I spent the next 20 years of my life through public school, high school, then at the university, and then later in seminary working on my master's degree, all in preparation to be a missionary to go out over the world. And so after 20 years of preparation, not just in the classroom and studying books, but also practical ministries in the church locally, in my neighborhood where I lived, with people who were poor or who had problems, with people who were immigrants to our community, I was able to then begin a ministry in other countries. I began in Mexico, which is just south of where I live in Texas in the United States, and then in other countries of Latin America. So I had to study Spanish in order to do that. So Spanish is my second language. Then after I had worked for some years in Latin America, I also received invitations to work in the former Soviet Union when it began to open up in the late 1980s and early 90s. And so I began to study Russian and began to travel in Russia. I actually lived in Moscow for a couple of years and traveled all over the countries that were part of the former Soviet Union, Ukraine, Belarus, Georgia, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Latvia, Estonia, many of those countries, and met many wonderful people. And what I did in these various countries was to train leaders, how they could be better pastors, better missionaries, better leaders of their churches and communities. It's the very same thing that I did when I was in Latin America. And then God opened many doors for me to work in other countries in Africa and Asia as well. Then along the way, God opened a door for me to work on a Bible translation project. And so I spent several years translating the Bible from as part of a team from Greek in the New Testament and Hebrew in the Old Testament into English. And that translation is a very easy to read, very accurate translation that many, many people are using today. It is available on the web and in bookstores. And then finally, in the last few years, the last 4 years, I have been traveling over the world to nearly 30 countries to share this amazing vision and strategy to reach out to children and to young people, teenagers and college students, university students, and to their parents, to bring those families to Christ, to see them grow in their faith, and to see especially the children and young people grounded with biblical morality and a biblical viewpoint of the world, and to be transformed in their thinking and their lives so that they can be members of society who will transform our world, transform culture and society. And so these are very big goals, but it's a fulfillment of my life to be a missionary, and this is a dream, a desire that I've had since I was 7 years old. Every one of us is born into this world. We have our country, our culture, our language, our own personality, our own abilities, our own intellect. And each of us is different. And I believe that God has put each of us here for a purpose. Our first purpose in life is to know God, to know Him personally, like you would know a friend. God tells us in His Word, the Bible, that He wants us to be His children. He wants to be our Father. And so if we are ever going to fulfill our primary purpose of knowing God, then it is so important to know Him through the way that He has told us to do that, which is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God not only wants us to know Him, He also wants us to do His will in this world. God is a spirit. He is invisible. He is not here in a body. And so God has given you and me the wonderful privilege to be His hands and feet and arms and eyes and ears and mouth here in this world to touch other people, to help them, to encourage them, to do for them what God would do if He was here in person. And of course, that's exactly what God did 2,000 years ago. He did come in person in the man Jesus Christ. And so the way to know God, the way to have a relationship with Him is through the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world. The Bible tells us that we all are sinners, that we have hurt God, that we have offended Him, that we have angered Him by the things that we've said, done, and thought that are wrong. We've hurt other people. We've often hurt ourselves. And so the penalty for this sin, this wrong that we have done, is death, not just physical death, but eternal separation from God. But God loves us so much that He did not want to leave us in this condition, but He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior, as the one who, through His death on the cross, through His resurrection from the dead, the one who could take away our sins. Jesus was punished for our sins on the cross, taking the penalty that we deserved, the death that we deserved, and He took that in our place, so that as we trust in Him, as we believe in Him, as we depend upon Him as our Savior, He forgives us, He gives us eternal life, He gives us this relationship personally, knowing Him forever, but He also changes us. And as He changes us in mind, in heart, in character, He then prepares us to be those change agents, those transformers out in the world that touch people's lives, that help them. So there's this beautiful thing that God does. He enables us to know Him as He forgives us through Christ, but He also transforms us so that then we can be His representatives, His ambassadors here in this world to touch other lives, to know people, to help them, to encourage them, to be what He would do if He were here on earth today. And so I would encourage any of you, if you have never believed and trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, to do that today, to believe He died on the cross for your sins, that He arose from the dead, and that He is the one who can provide you forgiveness and a relationship with God that will help you to know Him forever. He's the one who can change you, who can help you with your problems, and to enable you to be His representative here on earth, not just to receive, but to give. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, and I've certainly found that that is true in my life, to be the one that God uses to give His blessings to other people. And so I trust and hope that you will find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, as you trust and believe in Him, and then you can experience the joy of knowing Him and the joy of being His ambassador across this world or in your own neighborhood or in your own home to touch and bless other people. As I have been talking, if you feel that you would really like at this moment to believe and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would like to lead you in a very simple prayer. It's important that you understand that this prayer does not save you, it does not forgive you, but this prayer is simply a means of you talking to God and telling Him what's in your heart and how you feel and what you believe. So I will begin and say phrase by phrase the prayer, and I'd invite you to repeat this prayer either aloud or silently in your mind or in your heart. But the important thing is to realize that you're not saying this to me, but you're saying this prayer to God, just like you would be talking to a friend. So let's begin. And you repeat phrase by phrase after me. Dear Father, I thank you for loving me. I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry that I have hurt and wronged you. I ask that you forgive me. And I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the only Savior. I believe He died on the cross for my sins. I believe He rose again from the dead. And I trust in Jesus at this moment as my only Savior and Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for eternal life that helps me know you forever. And I ask right now, Father, that you would use me as your instrument of blessing in this world. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you have just prayed that prayer, repeating after me phrase by phrase, sincerely to God, I'd like to encourage you to do a few things. First of all, I'd encourage you to talk to God every day, just like you just did now. You don't have to be in a church or a special place, but wherever you are, in your bedroom, in your living room, walking along the street, driving in your car, riding the subway, talk to God. You can talk to Him aloud. You can talk to Him in your mind. Tell Him how you feel. Tell Him what you want, what you need. Ask for His forgiveness when you do wrong. But spend time talking to God every day. Ask Him to help others, to help your family and yourself. Second, I would encourage you to read God's Word, the Bible. There are many Bibles available in different languages. And if you don't have a Bible, if you can find a bookstore or a Christian who has a copy, ask them to loan you a copy or purchase a copy. Many Bibles are not expensive. And I would encourage you, as you open the Bible, you will see in the front a table of contents. You'll see that there are 66 small books that make up the one big book of the Bible. And I would encourage you to look in the second portion of the Bible called the New Testament. The New Testament, and the fourth book of the New Testament is normally the book of John. It was written by Jesus' best friend. It's a story of Jesus' life and what he taught, and that little book only has 21 chapters, and so you can read one chapter a day. It will take you 3 weeks to read that book. And so I would encourage you to read one chapter of John every day. And as you read it, ask yourself two questions. Who is Jesus? Who did he claim to be? And what does he want to do in my life? So again, to repeat, when you get a Bible, look in the second portion of that Bible called the New Testament. The fourth book is a book called John. And read one chapter of John per day for 21 days. Then after you finish John, another wonderful book to look at is about midway through the Bible called the Book of Psalms. It's quite a long book, but some of the chapters are very short, and so I'd encourage you to perhaps read one a day of those, and that would take you about 5 months to read that if you read just one a day. And so there's many other wonderful small books within the Bible, but I would encourage you to read that. The third thing I'd encourage you to do is to find a place where believers gather together. Many people call that a church, but it doesn't have to be a building. Many times believers meet in homes or schools, sometimes in public parks, sometimes in coffee shops. But find a group of Christians who meet together to worship God, to study His Word, to pray. And those other believers will encourage you. They will help you learn to pray better, to study the Word of God better, to tell others about God. And so meet at least once a week, if you can, with a group of other Christians or believers. That could be in a church. Again, it could be in a home or somewhere else. And the last thing I'd encourage you to do is to tell others about God, to tell others about Jesus Christ. And just start by telling what you know. Tell how perhaps you listened to this broadcast today and how you trusted in Jesus Christ through a simple prayer as your Savior, and share what you learn as you read God's Word. As Christians, we're just like a witness in a courtroom. A witness in a courtroom doesn't have to do anything other than tell just what they know. And so you don't have to know a lot, but just tell others what you know so that they too can come to know God and to believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior and Lord, and also to be blessed to be His instruments in this world. And then I suppose if there's one last thing, simply enjoy all of God's wonderful gifts in life, His creation, nature, the wonderful people He has put in this world, the wonderful blessings that we have. And we don't have to have a lot in this world to be blessed, because we have His Word, we have other believers, and we can know God. And so enjoy the wonderful things that God has to give to us, and to realize each day is a chance to know God, to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to serve Him, and to see that life is a great adventure. And what a privilege it is, what a blessing it is to know Him and to be part of His great family that stretches across this world. So I want to just tell you, God bless you, and follow the Lord through His Son, the Lord Jesus, and through His Word. God bless you today.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. Just Because it lives.